Hi, it's Tuesday morning, and I want to take a look at the Parsha, which is Balak, of course, as they say in Yiddish. And this is being sponsored by our good friends, the Pollocks, in Columbus and in Baltimore, in memory of a friend, let me see here, Anita Glimmer. Anita Glimmer, they tell me, was a brilliant, resilient, and fiercely compassionate woman whose life was shaped by courage, intellect, and a deep commitment to others. Growing up on Long Island, she showed an early passion for research, for Judaism, and for the arts. Wow. In her youth, she suffered a devastating back injury while protecting campers from a neo-Nazi attack. Well, I'd like to know more about that. This was a trauma, along with a lifelong immunodeficiency, never stopped her from forging an extraordinary path. After spending time at a kibbutz in Israel in the 60s, and briefly serving as a speechwriter for Golda Meir, wow, that's a movie, she moved to Florida, where she managed an impressionist art gallery and co-founded a successful marketing and fundraising firm whose clients included Israel Bond Sachs Fifth Avenue and Joanne Woodward's Ballet Company. This is a movie. She later relocated to Maryland for medical care, working over two decades at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, while championing Jewish education through her support of Talmudical Academy. Who is this? A classical guitarist, an amateur photographer, a gifted conversationalist, and a proud Mensa member, Anita embraced life with wit, generosity, and unshakable determination. Mir Neshama Haman Aliyah. That sounds like a Renaissance person. I don't think I knew her. Anyway, the Neshama should have an Aliyah, as they say. And now, a few salient points about the Parsha of the week in light of the events of the current times. We have, according to the famous story of Bilam, and as they always say, Bilam represents a certain type of attack on the Jews in Jewish history, which is a constant. In other words, it's an existential feature of Jewish history. There have always been the physical attackers, and there have always been the Bilam attackers. And that is nowhere more true than in the current times. Maybe Israel has been successful in fighting the physical attackers, but Israel has not been successful in its war against Hamas in fighting the Bilam attackers. As we know, just following the news a little bit around the world, and the Bilam version of events, that October 7th was really Israeli fault, or maybe Israel did the crimes. And anyway, if it was perpetrated on Israel, this is what you get for it. This is what decolonialism looks like. And all those kind of, slogans, which I just collect into one thing called, Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens and all those fools. But there's a zillion of them around the world. And now I saw the other day, and so did you, some... They're making a new song, Destiny IDF, and so on and so forth. And Israel's the one doing a genocide. Nobody blaming Hamas for using them deliberately. Everybody's human shields. Nobody blaming Hamas for putting terrorist headquarters under hospital buildings and things like this. All of this is what you call the Bilam attack on the Jews. And there we have sustained a great defeat. A great defeat. Trump is probably the only guy that, this hasn't worn off on. All the other people in America and around the world, of course, really, really, really buy into the Bilam version of events. That's all Israel's fault. And that Israel, as I said before, is perpetrating a genocide and all the rest of it. This is the Kayach of Bilam. What I'm trying to say is, if you want to understand the Parsha of Bilam, which of course we all know the story, and we know the ball of Kairism and all the rest of it, it's to produce this kind of propaganda narrative, which has been a major component of the Hamas attack on Israel from day one. I mean, we know now, and I knew then, I could discern, that as soon as this happened, the Hamas and those guys had already prepared their followers in America and around the world, like including the Jewish Voice for Peace elders, because the minute the attack happened, these guys were already marching and carrying on, in fact, their most vicious stuff, and they were in the United States Congress, waving banners, and ceasefire now. Notice that we get to kill you, but you can't kill us back. That's what ceasefire means. All of this is part of the koach of Dibor, which can be more powerful against Israel than the chemical weapons. That's the interesting thing. What is the story of Bilam? The Jewish people are marching, you know, to Israel in this roundabout way. Remember, they started at Kadesh. Just, you know, you don't have to be a genius. You know, a little bit of the map of the Negev. Kadesh, they were there for 30-some years. And it's somewhere in the southwestern part of Israel. So, in those, like you say, the northern Negev somewhere. So, their mom's close to Israel. And instead, because in Meraglim, Hashem says, okay, do a detour and go down to Eilat and then go up the Arava, the Israel-Jordan border of today. And when it comes to Moab, skirt around them. So they skirt around Moab, and they go north of Moab, and they have a war with Sichon and Og, and they conquer and wipe out Sichon and Og, and they take over a territory that Sichon had captured from Ammon and Moab. That was last week's Haftorah. And so you have a gigantic Jewish army, which is skirting around the borders of Moab, but freaking out Moab. It says, you know, Vayagar Moab et Ne'am Kiravu, Kilchoch Hasharis Yerka Sode. They were terrified, but they know that they can't militarily defeat the Jews. Matter of fact, Moab had lost its territory not too long before to Sichon, so Moab had been defeated in a war not long before, because the Jews wiped out Sichon, and Sichon had taken a lot of land from Moab. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Get the, you know, the new art scroll, what do you call it, Stone Chumash, the new edition. What I mean by that is it might be not so new, but I saw it when I was in Memphis. I ordered a bunch of the shuls. They have in the back, like, a lot of extra maps and drawings and all that kind of stuff, which is very user-friendly. If you take a look over there, you'll see the territory on the other side of the Jordan that Israel annexed. It's a little bit reminds you of the Golan Heights situation, but anyway, without going into that, Moab is afraid. They cannot fight militarily, so they try to fight through propaganda. They hire Bilam to curse the Jews and so on, as we know. It's not so ineffective. As I always say, year after year, think about this. If you understand how to interpret the parasha correctly, God had to shut up Bilam. He had to take over his mouth, which means that if not for this divine intervention, direct divine intervention, which is remarkable, Bilam would have had a koyach to hurt the Jews. Why? Why don't you simply say this? I'm Hashem, and I make it. Sticks and stones will make my bones, and names will never hurt me. I'll make it that the words of Bilam don't have any effect. But you see, Hashem does not run the world that way. Rhetoric has its own power. And, you know, like you see in the movies, the guy says, I guess, the jury will disregard those remarks. But they don't really. You understand? In other words, somebody shouts out in the court, but you murdered your mother, father, and killed 10 people, all the rest of it. And the judge says, shut up. And the judge says, the jury will disregard those remarks. But meanwhile, the words have come out, and they've entered the ears of the jurors, and it's going to have a roshem on them. So Lashon Hara, theoretically, you say like this, I'm not makabel. Right? That's what they say. Somebody tells you, Lashon, I'm not makabel. Baloney. Right? I mean, I know the din, and I know what it should be, and maybe if you're a tzaddik, you know, okay, you're not makabel. 99.99% is makabel, right? You just say, I'm not makabel. Meaning, as a halachic matter, I say to myself, I'm not makabel. But deep down, the words have sunken in. You understand? The words have sunken in. And so, if Hashem did not shut up Bilam, and there are psukim to talk about the fact that God would not let Bilam talk, you know, in the Tanakh as well. If Hashem did not do that, then, and later in the Chumash, by the way, then Bilam's words would have had a devastating effect. Now, the Rambam, as I always quote, says in the beginning of the Igeres Teman, that we Jews, as part of our existential history, meaning it happens time and again, and it'll never stop happening, we have certain features, cycles, in the Jewish historical experience. They come and go. You have to be lucky to live in between, right? But it's not so easy. And among these cycles is anti-Semitism, which the Rambam says famously is because of resentment against the Jews, because we got the Torah, this is his take, we got the Torah in our Sinai and the others didn't. And as soon as God said, I'm going to give one group the Torah and not the others, he already made resentment. In the words of the Rambam in the Geras Tamim, Zos hi Torah Hashem amitis shenit la adun kol nevim rishonim achronim, shabat Torah hazos hivdilono abori mishar b'nei olam. As soon as we got the Torah, God separated us from the others, made us different. Not because we deserve it either. Vein se'el efni shalei ruim l'kach. So, as Samson Rainville Herschel says, if all the Jews would be honest as the day is long, everybody would be Yisrael, mensch, nobody would have any tainas on us being a chosen people because you live an exemplary life. But you and I know that all B'nai Yisrael do not live an exemplary life. So why should we get the Torah and others? And he said it was a matter of chesed and so forth. And since Hashem separated us out from the others, like Jacob gave his son Joseph the coat of many colors, as soon as you give one and not the others, kinunu hagoyim kulit adasena kinagadola. The other nations have been mekani, a great jealousy. And at the heart of anti-Semitism lies precisely this idea of what makes you Jews entitled. Where do you get this feeling from? You see, the Christian religion and the Muslim religion says everybody's the same. As long as you accept Jesus or as long as you accept Muhammad, you're on board. You're among the saved. But with Judaism, they say, no, there's Klal Yisrael, there's the others. And immediately, that's like a separating type of tactic. And it's a big turnoff. And I totally get that. Believe me, it's uncomfortable. I get it. You understand? So therefore, by giving one the Torah and not the others, you make resentment. This, I believe, is just my opinion, is the source of the famous Medrash that says Hashem took around to the other nations also. Right? So, yeah, if you work backwards sort of historically, where would that narrative come from? You're trying to say like this, it's not pure racism or something like that. Hashem offered it to you, you said no. Do you get what I'm saying? In other words, a father gives his son a coat of many colors. The others are all angry. Why do you give him and not us? What if the father said like this, I went to the rest of you, I offered it to you, nobody wanted it, this one wanted it, so he got it. You know what I'm saying? I bought a nice coat, I have five kids, I offered all the kids, four didn't want it, one wanted it. Okay, so you can't get angry because I offered it to everybody. You see? So that's the idea. Well, Hashem went to Edom and to Moab and Mitzrayim and Yishmael and all the rest of it. They said no. So you get what I'm saying? You're trying to, you know, deal with this problem in the narrative. But Lemaisa, he only gave it to one. And then, for Malchim Bishvil Ara Alenu Sitnaveva. And ever since then, their kings and leaders have been trying. Let's see the exact words. I don't have the kapach here. That's what I really should get, but this will do. I don't know who this is. Translation. It's medieval. For Yilchusu Malchim Bishvil Ara Alenu Sitnaveva. And ever since then, their kings have been pressing us to stir upon us hatred and anger. So in other words, it's the cause of anti-Semitism, to use the modern terminology. So to him, it's because of that. And the Rambam, speaking theologically, says, listen, you're really angry at God, but you can't say that. So you try to get the Jews. See, you can't kill God, but you can kill the Jews. So therefore, let's go after the Jews. But really, 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 you're against God. Why did you pick them and not us? You know what I'm saying? This is already like Sigmund Freud. Were the brothers angry at Joseph? Or were they really angry at Jacob, but they couldn't say it, so they redirected their anger at Joseph? Woo! That's Sigmund Freud, big time, right? In other words, why were the brothers angry at Yosef? Why aren't they angry at Yaakov? Like, I'm not a shrink. I'm not going to go there. But you get what I'm saying. But the Rambam says it in this regard. And so Moab, Ammon, and all the others are angry at Hashem, but the only way they can direct that anger is toward Klal Yisrael. Umiyarvlo. And since it's God, you can't defeat him. In other words, it's not going to work, right? And therefore, he says, "Ein lachazman shenit l'torah." Therefore, the Rambam says, and he's writing in the 12th century, that there's never been a time from then till today, shekol melech oved avodazar gover machriach mezgaber, any powerful king, ein tchaz gavon lister torasin l'torah be'onus nitzarich mecherib, try to make physical attacks on us. Amalek, Sisra, Sancheir, Nebuchadnezzar, Titus, Barbecue, Zeman. So we've always been subject, if you're Jewish, to, you know, the potential for a physical attack at any time. Sometimes it takes it by surprise, like October 7th. Sometimes it does not. But, Zeh HaNoah HaEchad Mishnei Hanoim Sheiskavnu Bo Lanatzeach Achevitz Elhi. That's one of two prongs of the attack that is always mounted against us to frustrate the divine plan. Avol Hanoa Sheni, but then there's the other side, the other prong. So we're always attacked from right and left. I don't mean that politically. No, we're attacked from two sides. From this side and from that side. From this angle and from that angle. One of them is a physical attack. And it's always there, Lanatzeach Achevitz Elhi, to frustrate the divine plan. In other words, like Hitler's like this. This is the Rambam where he would psych out, psychologically analyze Hitler, the Rambam. That after all the racial talk, all the rest of it, he wants to make it, if I kill all the Jews, ha ha ha, then you'll see they're not the chosen people because they're not left. You get what I'm saying? Now, Hitler didn't think exactly in those terms, but the Rambam would say really did. So that's one. But Anu Hasheni, the second prong, Hamechudar de Mishar Malchius, V'Chacham Mishar Lashonos, the more intelligent and cultured of the different nations out there, Edom, Paras, Yevonim, right? The Romans, the Persians, and the Greeks, the Iranians, he says, who launch non-physical attacks, but verbal, rhetorical, and intellectual attacks, theological attacks. She'elu kamo elu, samu kabanos, and listor darasenu. Both sides have the intention to destroy our das, our religion, l'hafer torasenu, and to frustrate and make null our Torah, betainis she'tam aleha, with various arguments, bekushya she'machar masim, and kashas, those contradictions weaknesses in our position, shemacharbim, that they write up, but the idea is all the same. Lahafir Torah, Saint of Ligmas Ikhusebichibrim, to wipe out all traces of the Torah through their writings. Kamoshis Kamanos and Belos, right. So that's Bilam. Okay? In other words, in Jewish history, we have such a thing called pharaohs. We have such a thing called Titus. We have such a thing called Nebuchadnezzar and so forth. But we also have such a thing called Bilam. That's just the way it goes. And to be perfectly honest, Hitler launched a two-pronged attack because the Nazi propaganda is still with us today. And as a matter of fact, is enjoying a revival. And if you follow the news, as I do, sort of obsessively on certain things, you see that, you know, there's like a revival of the Hitler popularity. And really, 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 you know, the Arabs and the others say, well, oh, if only Hitler would have won. And more people are thinking like that. And that's where these right-wing, the Tucker Carlson types, as I call them, that's just a catch-call phrase. But all those types, really, really deep down, that's what they think. And what they really mean is like this. That will show the Jews are not a chosen people. That will show that it's all baloney. That will show that they had puffed up self-image and all this kind of stuff. And that the account that you find in the Bible in the Old Testament is not true. Right? Because we'll kill them all. Or if we don't kill them, we'll convert them. So Lamaisa, maybe in terms of physical DNA, there will be survivors. But since they won't identify as Jewish, there won't be any survivors. So it's almost not like the Jews per se, but it's a Jewish idea. Okay? The Jews as a distinct people, as a group. If every single Jew would convert or drop out or totally assimilate on purpose and therefore decline to identify as Jewish, and certainly they decline to identify as Jewish in the old-fashioned sense of believing the Torah, Amma Nifcher, and all the rest of it, then we won. In other words, then, Lahafer, what's the expression over here? Then it'll be Limchos Ikvoseho Bechiborehem, Lahafer HaTorah, to eliminate all traces of the Torah Judaism as a result of their rhetoric. That's exactly what's happening. It's remarkable. So you don't have to go and look for Rashi's and the Ramban's and the Parshas Balak, which is fine. Go do that. But you see it like staring you in the face. You understand? This is not a week to go and look for, some arcane vart. We're living in a time of Bilam. I mean, that's what it is. And Bilam means swallow up, bolea. So they're doing that. Now, it's fascinating to me. You can go on in this. Because, first of all, you're pro-Hamas Jews, the Jewish Voice for Peace and all that kind of stuff. they mamish have succumbed to the second prong of this rhetorical, different intellectual attack on Judaism. These people, obviously, when they're pro-Palestine and want to wipe out Israel, I'll say it again, they want to wipe out Israel, the rest of it, they're saying, you know, we don't want to be the chosen people. We want to be like the others. We don't want to be, you know, an Am HaNivchar or have a Torah or anything like that. We want to be like the others. We are totally happy to express our Judaism by worshiping other idols, meaning we want to work for other people, whether the Palestinians or the Hindus or this, that, whoever you want, you know, but just not the Jews. You understand? Just not the Jews. The others are okay. You know, they'll find tainus on our position. They won't find any tainus on the other position. The Jews are colonial settlers, but the killers that kill them, that's fine. You understand? The Hamas and the Hezbollah and the others, that's just fine. For Israel to bomb Iran is terrible. For Iran to bomb Israel is just fine. The idea is that you wipe out the trace of the old Judaism. And Bilam was just very good at this. Now, many Jews in recent years, I could say since October 7th, but it's even before that, are now siding with the left in this regard. And more Jewish intellectuals are saying we don't need Israel, for example. We don't need a separate country. Jews do better in Gaulis and all this kind of business. Yeah, like that worked out great. That's one. But then the story is even more fascinating because then Bilam, as we all know, is not allowed to talk, not to say what he wants. Therefore, he says, I'll give you advice for Bnos Moav, which is amazing because the other prong, which the Rambam doesn't really describe in the Geras Tema, because he's very theological and philosophical, so he's talking in the intellectual sense. But the other one is the good old-fashioned Bnos Moav. It's the assimilation intermarriage, and that worked like a charm. So Bilam has two tactics, A and B. One is a direct, sustained, verbal and intellectual rhetorical attack on the principles of the Torah. That's one. The other one is you get more flies with honey than with vinegar. Just be friendly to the Jews with a subversive intent, an insidious intent in the friendship. And that works great too. You understand? Now, what I mean by that is you can have a real friendship with people who are not of your faith. I have. You know, in other words, I respect you, respect me. That's fine. But there's nothing, insidious or, plotting behind it. I could be friends with this person because I like that person. They help me. I help them, blah, 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 and vice versa. But then there's the person, I guess, I'll be friends with you as a tactic. You understand? Because really, it's part of a goal. Like Kiruv people, you know what I mean? But that's Jew to Jew. The Kiruv person is friendly with somebody, but really, it's a tactic. You understand? It's sort of Jesuitical. You know, it justifies the means. I'm not talking about that. But those who have undertaken to be open, welcoming, and friendly to Jews with the idea that should lead to Bnos Moav. So that's already a tactic. You understand? That's what that is. And it worked like a charm because 24,000 died in 5 minutes. And if Pinchas didn't kill the guy right then and there, as you know, Moshe was nonplussed and Moshe didn't know how to react. It's famous. And yeah, you know the story. And it would have gone more, 24,000, and then a minute later it would have been another 24,000. Who knows? So compare and contrast. We have two stories in this parsha, or the last parsha in this parsha. One was the Kanani Melech Harod. That was, he attacked Yisrael by Yishma Meneshevi, and he took captives. Now, I know Rashi says one captive, I get that. But the Pashim Shad is that they took a veldt of captives. So it's mamish like the Gaza War. By Yishma Kanani Melech Harod, Kibba Yisrael Derech Hasarim, and he attacked the Jews. You heard Aaron died, and the Anonim went down, which is another way of saying like this, that there were no protections. Israel, State of Israel, had the Anonim. They thought they have all the drones watching, Gaza, and the balloons watching Gaza, and the physical people watching Gaza. But by Yishma Meneshevi, they took captives, the Jews were so angry. This was a straightforward physical attack. The Jews were so angry. It was a straightforward physical attack that, what do you call it? That they said, "Im nasona tem biyadi b'achramti zarehem." Hashem, just give me a victory, I'll wipe them out. Which is what the Jews are doing now in Gaza. V'yikoshem akum charma. What are they going to call Gaza when this war is over? They're going to call it charma. That they know how to handle. You understand? But they didn't know how to handle the Bilam. They didn't know how to Bilam. So, in the same way, maybe we can physically defeat Gaza. Are we intelligent enough that we know how to defeat Bilam? Are we intelligent enough to recapture the narrative and win the sympathy of the world to our side? I don't know the answer to that, but I'm simply pointing out that this Parsha is the Parsha of the week in the sense that it matches current events, you know, I would even argue like a glove, you understand? It's sad, but if we read every year in the Torah, it means you have to be aware of the Bilams out there, not only of the Kanani Melech Harad. You need both. The Rambam says, one attack is a Kanani Melech Harad, and they do capture captives, and but then we go after them. Right, v'acharamti sarihem. But how are you going to be v'acharamti sarihem for the Bilams? That is a challenge. Anyway, I just wanted to share those thoughts. Once again, I want to thank the Pollocks, and they're doing it for Zecher Nishmas Anita Glimer. Sounds like a remarkable person. And again, may Neshama have an aliyah. With that, I wish you a good day.